You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We're coming to H time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
When I go to the mall and I go to the Dior store and I want something, I get it. I ask how much it costs and I buy it. So if you really want something, you just go get it. So, that's... I'm the product here, and if they want my product, you know, they just got to come get it.
Yeah, and sometimes you shop in the Dior store, and sometimes you shop in the Dior outlet store, you know, and you get really nice things for a considerably better price, like
it's
Carlos Correa.
Rack. He went to Dior Rack,
yeah.
And there was a rebate, a $33 million rebate. I said, hey, okay, well, we'll buy your Correa back from you, but yeah, you're going to have to give us $33 million in credit or something like that, or store credit. We got store credit.
That's right. Yeah, Seth, Jim Crane got a push notification. He got a text yesterday like I get from Academy when they have a flash sale, and they're like, look, you got till 5 o'clock this afternoon, and you're going to get 33% off of a very, very talented shortstop, but you got to do it by 5.
Right.
You got to do it by 5 o'clock.
And that's exactly what it was like. You race down to the store in Minnesota there, and you pick up a Carlos Correa, which I got way more excited about than I thought I was going to.
I did too.
I was trying to be so cool beforehand. I did this with Bregman too, and I knew when they were talking about potentially still signing Bregman even after the trade that brought Paredes in. I was like, okay, I'm feeling at the time like, nah, we don't need it. We've moved on. But I knew as soon as if they had signed Bregman back, I would be super ecstatic.
Yeah.
This one caught me even more by surprise.
Yeah.
Partly because so many people around baseball were saying, nah, probably not going to happen. Nah, the Astros want too much. Nah, Jim Crane's not going to go over the luxury tax into the luxury tax for the second time in a row. And lo and behold, as Jim Crane is wont to do with the trade deadline, he damn well, every now and then at the trade deadline, Jim Crane says, that's it. I want that purse from the Dior store. And I'm gonna
get
it.
I want that thing. Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't even check with his wife, I heard. He just said, nope.
I want this Correa. Ask for forgiveness
later. Got the text alert on his phone, said, is this you? Just being sure this isn't fraud. And he said, yes, it's me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm with you. That to me is the A number one story with all this. And I guess for those of you who may have missed it, Carlos Correa is an Astro once again at the trade deadline. About 2 hours before the trade deadline yesterday, the news came down about Correa returning to Houston. It took forever for the details to come out. I don't know why. But about an hour later is when we saw that the Twins are picking up $33 million of the around $100 million left on Correa's contract. He's got 3 years left after this year. So Carlos Correa, we're at a place now, Seth, with Carlos Correa that a lot of Astro fans hoped we would be when he hit free agency in 2021, when the Astros made him a five-year, $160 million offer. He leaves and goes to the Twins on that one-year prove-it deal. Then he hits free agency again and gets not one, but two $300 million deals from the Giants and the Mets that both get voided. And he goes back to Minnesota on a six-year, $200 million deal. And now he's an Astro once again, where the Astros are basically paying around, if I do the math, 20 million, 20 plus, a little over 20 million a year for the next 3 years for Carlos Correa. Jim Crane is really, really good at allowing very expensive things to leave and then finding them at a garage sale 3 years later at about 60% of the price.
It's what the Patriots did forever. Guys would leave, and then lo and behold, a year or two later, they'd come back and be playing really well for the Patriots. So the Astros obviously don't need to. Back in the day, you might say, "Well, I hope the Astros or the Texans operate the way the Patriots did when they were so good." I mean, the Astros set the standard in a lot of ways for how to operate aggressively but intelligently. And you and I were talking about before the show. I mean, Jim Crane might be the ideal owner in terms of how the fan base can relate to him, and that he operates the team kind of like a fan, a smart, responsible, a fiscally responsible fan, but that all, tries to say, no, we got to be careful, and then all of a sudden says, screw it, we're going to go for it. And no, we got to do it this year. Okay, yeah, screw the future. We're not going to have gusto. Fine. It's just almost become like clockwork now that you can depend on, more likely than not, something really crazy and cool happening at the trade deadline.
Verlander, Greinke, Verlander again, and now Carlos Correa. And
Verlander the second time when the Mets were paying so much of his salary.
Which is a lot like this, which is where I was going to go for a second, which is if there's a criticism of Jim Crane as an owner, I would say that one is a very specific one, which is he allowed the team to be run by a non-GM for about a month, and they made some horrible decisions. That's water under the bridge now. Abreu's gone, Montero's gone, Brantley, whatever. The other criticism, I think, or the other times where people get upset with Jim Crane is when he doesn't spend big to keep his own guys. Gerrit Cole leaves, George Springer leaves, Carlos Correa leaves, Justin Verlander leaves, and I think what we've seen now, Seth, with the deadline 2 years ago with Verlander coming back, and now with this deal with Correa, is that by and large, those have been very good decisions to let these guys walk. Gerrit Cole is in the middle of rehabbing a Tommy John, and granted, he's won a Cy Young, he's been good for the Yankees, and George Springer's been up and down for the Blue Jays, but staying out of that high ticket free agency has been a big reason why the Astros have been able to sustain this thing, because it's not like they haven't been bumping up against the competitive balance tax, or in the case of the last 2 years, been over it while letting these guys walk. I mean, he's still spending a lot of money, and Carlos Gray ain't going to be cheap, but at three, what essentially amounts to 3 years, $22-23 million a year to probably play third base for this team, at least for this year and probably next year, depending on what they end up doing with Peña over the next couple years. I like the deal, if for no other reason, and you hit it right out of the chute. This is an energy jolt. This is a really cool feel-good thing. I don't know. You may have felt a certain way about whether they should do this deal with the money or this or that, and I felt that way. Like, people were like, should they go get Correa? I'm like, I don't know. Tell me the terms of the deal, and then I'll tell you if they should do it, because this has everything to do with how much you're spending on him and what you're giving up. I want to be there the night that he returns to Daikin Park on Monday the 11th against the Red Sox to be part of that reaction for Carlos Correa return, regardless of how you feel about the deal. It's really cool having him back on this baseball team.
Yeah, no, I think the injection of energy is a very real thing. And that's, you could be cynical about that or whatever it might be, but we've just seen on this team through the golden era how much it mattered when guys like George Springer were around in the dugout. Alex Bregman's effect, they're finding out in Boston just how valuable he is to the younger guys. And Carlos Correa, really, by the time he left, had transformed into a veteran leader and a guy that had the Astros DNA in him and all of that. And it works out. It's even better in that, if you're wondering about whether Correa was going to play second, the shortstop or third base, turns out that he's wanted to play third base for a while now. They just hadn't been able to get one there for the Twins to take the shortstop reins. So he just settles seamlessly into playing third base while your shortstop of the future can be mentored by Carlos Correa. It's a really cool situation.
It's cool, and it's cool, too, when you talk about mentoring, that there's a mentoring aspect with Correa to Jeremy Peña. And I know we have some fun with that audio that – when Correa returned to Minute Maid for the first time, and he's talking to the media about, you know, made it sound like he discovered Jeremy Pena. We have some fun with that audio, but the fact of the matter is that in that year or two where they overlapped, at least being in spring training together, you know, where Pena was still part of the minor league team, but the big league ball club and the minor leaguers would cross-pollinate sometimes, that Correa was very much a mentor to Pena then. The two work out in the offseason now. It's going to be, but they've never played in a big league game together. You know, it went from Correa being a near MVP to the next season, Pena being an amazing rookie who was the actual MVP in the postseason for the Astros that year in the ALCS and the World Series. It's going to be, Pena's supposed to return tonight. Correa, before leaving the Twins, missed a game, I think, because of migraine. So we'll see. We'll see what the deal is. Carlos is going to be with the team in Boston. Whether he plays tonight or not, it's not been made clear. Whenever that first game is, whether it's tonight or tomorrow, and seeing Carlos Correa and Jeremy Pena jogging out onto the field at the same time to take that side of the infield together is going to feel a little bit surreal.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
You know,
it's gonna be really cool. And the other part of it with Correa is, you know, people will point out, hey, he's not having a great year. He's been up and down. He's had one bad month, one good month.
Yeah,
it's playoffs, Correa. I mean, that's one of the reasons that teams wanted him so badly, was because the Astros have played so many playoff games and series, it really, in the entirety of Correa's career, it's not just flukishness or luck that Correa has been really, really good in the playoffs. It's kind of freakish how consistently good he's been in the playoffs versus the best competition in the league. He hardly ever has a bad series. Like, very, very rarely is he even in a series worse than his career averages. So, I mean, which is, that's hard to come by. And people recognize that. So, primetime Correa is an actual thing. You're getting your pitchers back to health. This is, no matter what the skid has been on the last 3 weeks or so, you can genuinely just hit the reset button now. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And if Yordan comes back, Seth, you're going from having a lineup that's basically Altuve, a bunch of minor leaguers, and maybe Christian Walker getting a big hit every now and then, to a lineup that is Altuve, in no specific order, Pena, Altuve, Correa, Yordan. And this is where I'll bring up Christian Walker and go glass half full. It's like, yeah, he has been better for the last – he had a really good July. You know, well, so this is going to be fun.
And then the defense especially, I mean, that's a huge thing. The Astros are already, you know, one of the very best defensive teams in the league. And then you look at what happens yesterday and what the infield can look like on any given night. Because now you've got two extra guys that are really good defensively that you can shuffle in and out of whichever positions. And, you know, next year when Paredes comes back, it'll get super interesting.
That gets interesting on many levels, because it's, is there a log jam? Do you put him at second base? Like, what do you do? We'll worry about that, Nick. Yeah, and for those who haven't heard, I think that news came down in the last 24 hours, too, that Paredes out for the season. He's hoping to be ready for opening day next year. That's how bad the hamstring was. He had to have ripped that thing off the bone, right, Seth? If he's out 6 to 7 months?
I'm guessing that it was
just a really bad tear.
Sometimes a hamstring tear is just the actual tendon being ripped off the bone or snapping in half. And that sounds what it probably was.
6 to 7 months.
Having suffered that same injury myself.
That's why I asked.
No, and as a player, you know, you can appreciate how Paredes maybe thought at first I'll be okay. But I tore two of the three hamstring tendons that attach to the pelvis off my bone. So the first So one of us is still attached. So initially you feel like, hey, I'm all right. I can do this. And then you find out via the MRI. I don't know if maybe the Astros. They actually ran an MRI this time, maybe.
Now that would be crazy. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday here, day 8 of Texans training camp. We will get to some Texans talk, but the big news, Carlos Correa returning. We'll get you up to speed on all the other moves the Astros made. They made two other trades. There was one trade that got down to about the 5-yard line, it sounded like. What would things have looked like if they had pulled off all the deals that they were trying? Man, Jim Crane was shopping yesterday, man. We'll get to all that. We'll continue with some Carlos Correa talk. We'll circle over to the Texans as well as we roll on here. 8 o'clock, Texans All Access. Texans Training Camp Live will take over here. Live from Texans Training Camp, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.